want us to look just briefly at a scripture, and as it applies to us here this day. It comes from Psalm 122. This whole section of the Psalms is about the pilgrimage that the folks would take 2, 3, 4 times a year to the festivals. And as they were going to the festivals in Jerusalem, or to Zion, we baptized into that city of Zion, they would read these Psalms to one another. And this is one of the Psalms that they would read. Read with me this verse on the screen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house. And then it continues, and now here we are. Amen. And now here we are. And I think that's a wonderful thing to say. Here we are today. And this psalm goes back in this whole section about the pilgrimage songs. They would reflect on what God had done in the past, and they would praise Him for what He was doing currently and thank Him for what He would do in the future. And so I want to spend just a few minutes and do that very thing. Reflect back upon the past, where we have gone. As I said, we began this journey back kind of in 96 is when it sort of unofficially started. But it took full form back in 1999 as the committee began to explore our building needs. And eventually in 2002, we began what was called at that time the Great Adventure Program, the Great Adventure Campaign. Let's see if I can move, advance these guys. I'm not getting anything. Ah, there we go. Okay, the road we've traveled. And with the Great Adventure Campaign, it began in 2002, but actually people began giving in 2000 for the building that we presently enjoy. But the campaign itself began in 2002 through 5. This was the campaign logo. Anybody remember that? Anybody remember? And what I want you to see with this is one thing that we saw was that we knew that the building, getting into the first floor, was a big deal, but we also knew there was another mountain behind it. We intentionally put that there. That was the second floor. And so it's a prophetic picture of one day we're going to climb not only one mountain, but two mountains together. The project scope at the time, and I don't know how well you can see this, this is the display. I think the display is upstairs in the children's area. But we were actually looking at doing like a 3-story building at that time, knocking down all these buildings. By the way, we will eventually knock that building down to our left over here. But it was going to be about for 450, 500 people, and that was the original scope of the project. This is one of the, I know, look at that. Yee-hee. I had to put the, I know, hair. Look like some kind of flaming evangelist right there. Oh, yeah, it's fun. And this was the worship program. And you probably, again, can't see this, but right here at the top, October 26, 2003, is when we celebrated getting into the original building. So 12 years, almost 12 years of the day, we had that celebration service, and now this one today. Some people I want to recognize that were part of this campaign, the financial campaign, not necessarily the actual building process, but the financial campaign, we had actually 3 leaders of it, and they were Brad Krim, David Zavage, and Linda Fields. David and Brad, would y'all stand up? Y'all show your appreciation for them, what they did. Raising the finances for that. And so from 2000, like I said, people began giving until 2009. We actually took in offerings for the Great Adventure Campaign. We moved then next in 2010. Well, there you go. That was the total amount taken in from 2000 to 2009. I didn't know that was on there. So the crossover began in 2010. And again, the leader for the financial end of this campaign was Brad Krim. God bless Brad. Stand up again, Brad. For those that didn't see him, he's a fine man. And that's our logo, and the scripture for the campaign was, read it with me, Joshua 3:5. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do things. Amen. Do amazing things among you as you cross over. And so this was sort of the scope of the project, and this is the empty building, the children's building, and this is what we were shooting for. Actually, everything's kind of turned around. This was, anyway, and the youth building, and this actually has turned around as well. So things have changed. And let's see. Yeah, there's the picture of newsletter. I look a little bit more hip there, I think. Anyway, her crossover newsletter. That campaign, we raised a total of, from 2010 to 2013, $673,000, or almost $674,000. Amen. And then, of course, the most recent campaign to finish out the project, we began about this time last year, 2014. It actually extends for an 18-month commitment we were asking you to make into like May or June of 2016. And our Finish the Race logo. And this was our theme verse. Read it with me. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Amen. And getting back. If you've never gone into our children's and youth building, you ought to go into there, the old children and youth building. You ought to just walk in there, okay? It's scary, okay? It's really kind of scary. And to see what we now have is such a blessing. And so there you see some of the old things that we have and some of the new things, of course. And the campaign director for this project was Robert Worley. Robert, where are you? I know he's here. Y'all bless Robert Worley. All right, here's the campaign. There you go. And to date, we have raised $516,000. Amen. All totaled, we raised during that 10-year period, 15-year period, we raised $2.2 million. Amen. Isn't that great? Give God praise for that. $2.2 million. Praise God for that. I think we owe right now, I'm not sure what it is, $900,000 or something like that. And as things go along, and I believe we'll see that paid off a lot quicker than what we anticipate. Is it 9 years, 10 years? Yeah, 9 more years. So we hope to get that down much quicker than the 9 years. But still, God's been faithful to take us through. I want to talk now as this pilgrimage psalm. It says, look back, you know, look at what God has done. But there's also in this psalm, this psalm section, look ahead to where God's taking you. And so for our vision for the future, and we're working with the vision community. It's made up of the deacons, the staff, plus a number of other folks. About 13 people are on this. And our present, our old vision had been to join God in His activity of building Christ-centered homes in the Brazosport area so that the community is stronger. And this, we have been discerning, Lord, where are you going to take us into the future? And so as we've discerned, this, we believe, is the new vision for the church. To encounter Willow as a place to encounter the life-changing presence of God. That's what we want to see happen, not just on these grounds, but through our lives, okay, through our influence, that people encounter the life-changing presence of God. As we have worked on that vision, we've kind of said this is the way we feel like it's going to happen. And again, this is still, it's not in concrete. We're still developing this. I look back at what you're about to see. This is like the fifth iteration or the fifth kind of evolutionary point that we've come to on this thing. And we feel like life, helping people experience a life-changing process or the power of God happens through these things, when Jesus becomes the center of our lives. Amen? I mean, we can all say amen to that. And there seemed to be a progression to this. We didn't really try to make a progression, but there seemed to be a very clear progression. The next one is when we love and accept, that shouldn't be there, okay? Let's see if it's there. No, it's the second one, which is not on there. It says this, when we love and accept people as they are. When we love and accept people as they are. And just letting this place be a place like Alan sang about, where people just can be themselves and in themselves can encounter God's Spirit. The third thing is this one, which you see on the screen, and read it with me. We love and accept opportunities. You know what? That's not it either. I don't know what happened. I'll have to have a talk with Robin. We'll see what happened here. Okay. It's when we provide. This is what it should say, okay? Maybe we. Okay, I see what she did. Okay, I'm sorry. She combined two. Here we go. The third one should say this. When we provide opportunities for healing and restoration through experiencing the Father's love. We want people to experience His love. Amen? To know that love, which surpasses all understanding and can change a person's heart. We want Willow to be a place where there is literally, where there is a red cross on the building. I'm not saying literally, but we want it to be a place of healing and restoration, where people can encounter God's love. They can know God in a way they've never known God because they've been accepted. They know, listen, perfect love does work. What the Bible says, perfect love does what? Cast out fear. It just casts it out. And that's what we want people to experience. And in that, they feel, they come to know His healing. And that healing can take the form of many different things. The next one is this. It's on the screen. Read it with me, the bottom one. We invest in purposeful relationships. Look, here's the thing. This is what we know. This was a huge gap in our church. We know that there is a need for people to connect more intimately with each other. We have heard that, said that. The surveys have shown that. You've told us that. And so we're going to make that happen. Through the power of God, we're going to make sure. We're going to give you opportunities to connect with each other at a deeper level. The purposeful relationships. And then this last one, read it with me. We empower believers to grow emotionally and spiritually in their purpose, gifting. Amen. I'm sorry, boy, I've just messed up. That is not the last one, okay? Keep teasing you. I'm just teasing you, all right? It's this emotional and spiritual health that we want to communicate to people, that you have a ceiling in your life as long as there's emotional woundedness, okay? You're only going to go as far spiritually as you are emotionally, in your relationships, in your own heart. So this emotional and spiritual health is important. And now the last one. We can read it together. I promise the last one. All right. Read with me. We share with everyone the life and hope we have experienced through knowing Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. Again, it's carrying out what God has been doing in my life so that other lives are changed and touched. Here's what I want you to know, folks, right here, is that this. Willow is a hospital. Willow is a home. Willow is a hospital. Willow is a home. We want it to be a place where people can be healed of everything, okay? I'm not limited to everything, okay? Everything. They can experience God's unconditional love and His power of redemption, of changing people's life. We want to be a hospital, and we want to be a home where people feel loved, they feel accepted, there's relational connectedness, there's wholeness, there's even discipline through encouragement, calling people up to a higher level. I mean, it's what you do in families. You don't let people settle. You tell the teenagers, you tell the children, come on up. Don't settle there. And so it is within a family. We want Willow to be a home. We want it to be a hospital. You know, as an Air Force chaplain, I'm telling you, every time I'm out at the base, I am just almost overwhelmed by the brokenness of people's lives. You know, you think military, they got it all together. But as a chaplain, you see right behind the veneer, right underneath the veneer. And I'm telling you, folks, just hopelessness. Hopelessness. We got hope. Amen? We have each other. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the love of the Father. We have that. But outside these walls, they don't have that. They got broken, dysfunctional families. Their theology comes from whatever song, country song or pop song. Whatever they heard, some little saying here and there. They have nothing. Nothing. And we got it all. And that's why I say Willow's got to be a hospital. It's got to be a home. Because there are broken people out there that need to be healed. And there are wounded and homeless people out there. Not just in the natural homeless people. I'm just people that don't even know what real love looks like. And so we have a challenge before us. And this, I'm going to give you a couple of things here. The challenge that we've seen is this. Since the first of the year, January 1st, we've lost 50 active members. That's why some of you wonder, what's happened? Well, we lost 10 to 12, 13, whatever the number is, of college students have gone off. We bless that. We've lost a lot of friends that have just moved away. He's gone to other jobs, some to San Antonio, others in different places up north of here. They've just moved on. And then we've had others that they just felt like it's time for them to move to another church, and we've been able to bless some of those who've moved forward in that way. But that, you know, that takes a toll. There's an emotional toll that comes with that. There's a financial toll that comes with that. And so for right now, we're suffering financially. God has blessed the church financially, but because we've lost that many givers, it's really affected us. So the decrease in giving in one area that's gonna has come that's directly impacted is the worship leader search committee. Because right now, as we go, we can't really afford a worship leader where we are. And we want a worship leader. Amen? We want an outreach leader. That's what the person will do, worship and outreach. But here's the challenge. The challenge is that we only have maybe 20% of our people that tithe. 20%. The others give occasionally. I don't know what anybody gives. I know what I give. That's it, period. But if we just had 20, 40, 60, if we just had 100% of our people tithe, no problem whatsoever. So the challenge is, it's not asking you, I'm not asking anybody to give who's been tithing to give anything more than what you're giving, okay? It's not like but for those that aren't, I want to challenge you in that. Let me tell you something. You're only going to grow this much. You're only going to grow this much. You want to go to the next place. This is an area of obedience. The Lord says, listen, just follow me here. I will take care of your needs. And I will show you that when you are weak, when you don't have it, I will be strong. I will meet your needs. I've seen it. I'm like, Lord, how are you going to do it? And he does it. He takes care of it. So I just encourage it. That's a challenge because we really want to move forward. We have a challenge that I've already talked about is connecting with each other. It is something, when Craig Jutila was here this weekend, and by the way, folks, I'm so sorry you missed this. It was phenomenal. And I'm not telling you that just to make you feel bad. I'm telling you, it was phenomenal. It was just, he knocked it out of the park. But he talked about this whole thing about how we all want to connect with each other, but we really don't want to connect with each other. Because it's messy, because we don't want to give up time, we don't want to give up, you know, we don't really want to invest too hard in relationships that may cost us something. But we have to. We have to in order for us to be what God wants us to be. That's a challenge. The challenge is providing hope and help in the community. And so I want to encourage you just to make a commitment to make a difference. And I'm going to give you four things that you can do. I think it's four, maybe three. Yeah, it's three things. All right, shorter's better. I want to talk with you about a commitment. And listen, for some of you, here's what you need. You need to quit sitting on the bench and watching other people do it. You need to get in the game. I want to tell you, watching a game can be fun, but I would rather be playing a game. I'd rather be in the game. You know, I watch football games, and I enjoy it, but I'm like, man, I'd rather be out throwing the football. I'd rather be doing something. And for many of us, many of us here, some of you have been sitting way too long. It's time to get off the bench and get in the game. Participate some ways. Let me just talk about some of those ways. First, your commitment is to do this, to deal with the road film of sin in your life, okay? Talked about this a couple of weeks ago, about how we can drive our car around in the community, and it seems to be fine. I mean, but I guarantee you washed your car, if you washed your car like on Wednesday, unless you haven't driven it, even if you haven't driven it, you run your finger across the hood of it. What's going to be on it? Just filth. You say, well, I didn't get this thing filthy. It's just being in the environment. You pick up this road film, this analogy, this road film of sin and compromise in our life. And so in January, what we're going to do, hey, look, collectively in January, we're going to have a time of prayer and fasting, okay? And we're going to ask God, get this junk, and you start now. Don't feel like, well, I'll indulge in as much sin as I can until January. That's what I'll do. Don't do that. That's not good. I mean, start now. But as collectively as a church, we're going to deal with this thing. We're going to say, you know what, we're going to deal with this compromise, this stuff where we've just given into the world. I want you also, there's like three D's, okay? Deal with the road film of sin and compromise. The second D is start declarative praying, okay? A couple of weeks ago, I talked about authority when you pray. And so I came up with these declarative prayers. And Dinah, I'll send them to you, and you can send them out to the prayer list, okay? And you can come up with your own. I don't care. Here's one of them right here. Here's what you pray for yourself. Let's pray it out. God is for me and not against me. Therefore, I take Jesus at his word and I speak to the mountains in my life. Stop right there. Whatever the mountains are, okay? You speak to those mountains in your life. Mark chapter 11 is where this comes from. Let's read. Go into the sea. I believe and I do not doubt. I mean, that's what he told us to do. You can speak to the mountain. Whatever the mountain is, speak to it. And it will go into the sea. But you, when you pray, believe and do not doubt. Amen? That's a good prayer. That's taking authority. Talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Taking authority. The second thing is I'd like for you to pray this prayer for Willow. Again, we'll send it out. This is a good prayer. Willow is a growing congregation filled with people who are seeking and experiencing the kingdom of God in all its fullness. Again, it's a declarative prayer. Lord, this is what Willow is. We are declaring this to be your desire and your heart for Willow. Again, a prayer of declaration. So that's the second D. And the third D is a dedicated involvement. I'll just give you all of these right here. Of practicing the spiritual disciplines, of building relationships, of serving others, finding a place of ministry where you can serve other people, of giving. Again, that's a big deal. I understand. I know. Look, I got 5 kids, okay? They like went to college. Okay? I understand. It's tight. It's hard. You could put that money other places. But I mean, you put yourself vulnerable before the Lord, and the Lord says, I'll meet that. I'll meet that need. So some of you, that's where you need to start right there. As I kind of close out this section of the message, I want to again go back to that verse and let's read it together. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And now here we are. As we get ready to stand and make our dedication to the Lord, dedicate this building and the work that goes on in it to the Lord, I want you to make this dedication, make a commitment. I want you to make a commitment to God, to yourself, and I want you to make a commitment to the one that's going to be reached through this church. Last year, I preached on this message of reaching the one and how one person can change multitudes. And so this morning, we saw a little Zion baptized. One. But Zion's going to grow up to be a young man. And his life is not only going to be changed, but his family's life's going to be changed. Because you invested in him. You gave, you served, you ministered, you prayed. One life changed by this church will affect one family. We see that in John chapter 4 with one young man who is healed, and it says, and then his whole family believed. Also in John chapter 4, you see a lady, the Samaritan woman at the well. She believed in Jesus, went back to her town and said, look, there's a guy out here. I think he's the Messiah. And it says, and the whole town came to listen to Jesus and many believed. One life reached the city. And one person, in fact, there are many people in this church that have reached this city and this county. I think of Nanette back here. Nanette, raise your hand. One person out of Willow, the executive director of River of Hope, whose life has touched thousands of people in this community. Right out of this little church. Think of Robert Worley, the former executive director of the Economic Development Alliance of Brazoria County. One life from this church has literally influenced the economic growth of this community. One person, one church. In Mark chapter 5, you have the story of the demoniac of the Gadarenes, a man who had thousands of demons in him. Jesus delivered him. He said, "Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to come back and be with you." And Jesus said, "No, you go tell everybody your story." This one man went into the Decapolis, 10 cities, and he spread his story of what God had done in his life. And thousands of people heard, and maybe even thousands of people came to faith in Christ because of him. One life that shaped a region. And I want to think about the two lives that have come out of this church. Lindsay Shores, her husband Shannon, they married. And then Dave Winifred, his wife Jess. One in Botswana, the other in China, both sharing the gospel. Gospel seeds being planted in maybe thousands of people's lives. Two lives that have left out of this church that are shaping regions of the world. Right here, because of you. And then we had the story in Acts chapter 8 of the Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip leads him to faith in Christ, and then he goes back to Ethiopia. He is a leader in the government, and we know by the 2nd century in Ethiopia, Ethiopia is now a Christianized nation because of one guy who had an encounter. And again, I think about a person out of this congregation who's having an international influence, Linda Fields. She left this congregation, went to be a part of the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, an international ministry. She's head of the Joseph Company, and there she is. She's influencing business leaders literally around the world. One life out of Willow. One child whose family will be touched. Two young people who are touching a region. Two people who've touched cities and who've touched counties, all from Willow Draw Baptist Church. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Your prayers, your giving, your involvement, it's paying off. And you are making a difference. Let's stand together. Let me have the worship team, y'all come on up at this time. As we make this dedication, as we make this commitment, again, I want it to be a time where you're committing yourself to the Lord, but I also want you to think about the one life who will be changed because of Willow. And then we'll go out of here and make a difference in a family, in a community, in a nation, and even the world. All right, Danny, we're going to do the first response. Okay. How good, how pleasant it is to be worshiping God on His day with His people in His house. Bless the Lord, O my soul. To the glory of God the Father, who has called us by His grace, God the Son, who loved us and gave Himself for us, God the Holy Spirit, who illumines us and strengthens us, who empowers us. Let's read the next one. To you, O Lord,
we dedicate this house.
For the worship of God in prayer and praise, for the preaching of the good news of Jesus Christ, for the celebration of the gospel seen in baptism and the Lord's Supper, to you, O Lord, we dedicate this house. For the comfort of all who mourn, for the strength of all those who are tempted, for light to those who seek the way, to you, O Lord,
we dedicate this house.
for the sanctification of the family, for teaching and guiding the children and youth, for the perfecting of the saints.
To you, O Lord, we dedicate this house.
For the conversion of those who do not know Jesus, for the promotion of living a righteous life, for the extension of the kingdom of God to the very ends of the earth.
To you, O Lord, we dedicate this house.
In the unity of our faith, in the bond of Christian love and goodwill, and to grace to all.
To you, O Lord, we dedicate this house.
In gratitude for the labors of all who love and serve Willow, in loving remembrance of all those who have finished their work, in hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
To you, O Lord, we dedicate this house.
As members of the body of Christ, grateful for our heritage and sensible of our responsibility, we now today dedicate ourselves to the worship and service of Almighty God in this building. In this building, not only will it remain here, but we will take it to the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. After my prayer, we're going to dismiss our senior adults. We'll continue to worship in song, and then I'll close us with a benediction. To you, O Lord, we dedicate this house. Say that with me.
To you, O Lord, we dedicate this house.
We do. We dedicate it to you. We thank you, Lord, for all that's gone on here at this building and all that's been passed through this building and all who've been blessed because of Willow Drive Baptist Church. We thank you, Lord, for the ones who've been touched here, whose lives have been changed, whose families have been touched, who've been used by you to reach dozens, if not thousands, of people. We thank you, Lord, for your work through Willow Drive Baptist Church. And we thank you, Lord, today that it doesn't end. As we dedicate this second floor to you, it's for our young people, for our children, this next generation who are going to carry forth your name. To you, O Lord, we dedicate this house. We ask that you fill it with your glory, with your presence, that literally when people drive past 200 Willow Drive, they feel the presence of God. May they experience, as our vision states in the future, experience the life-changing presence of God, even as they're driving by. Lord, as people enter on this property, let them encounter you in ways they've never known before. Your love, your grace, your truth, your righteousness, your justice, your hope, your encouragement. To you, O Lord, we dedicate this house. Fill it, Lord, with your presence, with your glory, with your grace. Let all who walk in this place, let them be testimonies of your love, of your joy. And let them share that love, joy, and grace, and forgiveness to all. To you, O Lord, we dedicate this house. And everybody said, that's what